Hey there, sex fans. Welcome back. Today is Wednesday, February 9th, 2011, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That's me. I'm delighted to welcome back Lance Navarro for part two of his appearance for this sex education podcast series. Last week, we discussed his work in porn. This week, we turn our attention to another aspect of his sex work, being an escort. Like last week, Lance, with his trademark frankness, dispels some of the myths surrounding this type of sex work. And if you thought last week's program was provocative, hold on to your hats, because this week is going to totally blow you away. But wait, you didn't miss part one of this amazing conversation which appeared here last week at this time, did you? Well, not to worry if you did, because you can find it and all of my podcasts in the podcast archive on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. All you got to do is use the search function in the header, type in podcast number 261, and presto! But don't forget to use the pound sign when you do your search. And be sure to visit Lance on his kick-ass site, which is aptly named LanceNavarro.com. And from there, you'll find his Facebook page and his Twitter feed, too. Today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. You know, even though I get tons of email from folks looking for my advice, I can only respond to a limited number of inquiries at any given time. But that doesn't mean that I don't care about everyone who writes in. I do. That's why I've set up the How-To Video Library. You'll find a link to this great resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Video Library tab. The video library is the go-to place for all of you who have sexual performance questions. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, delightfully enriching, and oh-so-informative videos right from the comfort of your own home. How sweet is that? So, without further ado, let's get on with the show. Lance Navarro, thanks for coming back and joining us here at DrDickSexAdvice.com for this sex education series. I am so delighted that you came back because, as I said last week, at the conclusion of last week's show, I have tons more questions to ask you. We spent most of our time last week talking about your life in porn, and so as interesting and as fascinating as that is, I would really like to move on to other achievements. So a lot of the guys in porn supplement their income by dancing or escorting or in other things. And I know that you are a massage therapist, so I want to talk about that in a bit. But you're also an escort, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about that kind of sex work. And my perception is that regardless of religion, nationality, or gender, everyone has an opinion about sex workers. Many are quick to judge the oldest profession and will happily categorize those that belong to it into something sort of stereotypical misconceptions, or even worse. While it's easy for any of us to pass judgment, it's not so easy unless we are in the same occupation, and it's almost impossible to really know why sex workers do what they do. So I'm so delighted that you've agreed to chat with us about this. So why is it that you do what you do? And is it the same reason as when you started?
I do what I do because I'm good at it, and because it's, I didn't know that I was good at it.
Uh-huh.
I think it started actually with my work as a massage therapist.
Okay,
my initial introduction into massage, I was always interested in massage. I was always like giving my dad back rubs, mm-hmm. when I was young. You know, I didn't really know what I was doing,
right.
But I had an appreciation for, you know, the manual manipulation of you know, muscle and soft tissue. So my initial introduction into actually learning about massage was in these all-male workshops. And it was all about embracing intimacy and sensuality, and and it was all about understanding the difference between intimacy, sensuality, eroticism, and sex, and that they're all separate components of our sexuality and our sexual being. Whereas a majority of people, and especially gay men, tend to group it all together. You know, it's sort of the idea that when you get a hard on, you get off, and that's what it's all about.
Right.
You know, either by yourself or with somebody else. But
male sexuality is like so dick oriented, you know, cock oriented. It's crazy. You know, and we very few of us men know how to distinguish between sexuality and sensuality, and I think we suffer from that.
Exactly. So I for about a year and a half, I was working partially when I was unemployed. I was doing massage to supplement my income, and then I started doing it full time, and so I did it for about a year and a half, full time, just doing massage. I mean, it was sensual and it was intimate, but it was not sexual or erotic.
Interesting.
I was in a relationship that certainly would not have permitted me to have done that, because it was not a very, you know, it just would not have been agreeable in our relationship to cross that line. And I came out of that relationship for many reasons, and shortly thereafter decided to just, you know, I always had people inquiring if I would, you know, become, you know, if they could hire me for even more intimate or an erotic session. And I always said no. And finally, I was like, you know, I'm going to take one. And I took my first appointment, and was nervous, you know, not sure what it would be like,
right.
You know, because obviously it is about intimacy and companionship and so forth. But there's almost always some sexual component to
right. To
most of these appointments, of course, speaking bluntly. But that's our decision that we make as two consenting adults.
Exactly.
outside of the appointment. And it felt very natural.
Uh-huh.
It felt like I was just providing somebody with something that was a very natural human need. The need to feel connected to somebody, the need to feel cared for, to feel loved, to feel compassion. It just felt very natural, and I could instantly feel the gratification for what I was doing, that I was truly making a difference in this person's day, in this person's week, and perhaps this person's life.
Right. It's interesting that you bring this up, because I hear from lots of other sex workers, and they tell me that a good portion of sex work is not about sex at all, that their connections with their clients may or may not have anything to do with genitals.
I really do believe that the power, the what really hits people and what really makes a difference is just the presence and the connection.
Right.
I mean, some people honestly need just a hug more
so
than
true.
Anything else.
It's
they just
so
need
true.
To feel that connection with somebody else. I mean, I have appointments, I have clients that you know, really just want to talk, to hang out and talk and you know, and get to know me and just have somebody be there present with them.
Yes.
And attuned to them. I mean, there certainly is that, I mean, that is really a pivotal component. Now, but yeah, I mean, the majority of clients are going to want, you know, are going to want some type of the physical, you know, connection as well.
Uh-huh.
I certainly believe that really what makes the difference is the presence,
right.
And is that just caring and present nature.
Yes. So let me ask you what a question that is probably on the tip of everyone's tongue is: does your sex work, both escorting and your work in porn, impact on your relationships? In general, and your intimate ones in particular.
Yeah, I mean, it's drastically changed my life as far. I mean, overall.
Right, right.
It's changed my life, and because it's changed my life so drastically, it's changed the way that I relate to other people. Drastically. It's all for the better for me. For me, it is, even though it doesn't make it easier.
Right.
I mean, I know that my life would be so much easier if I could just live it blindly
and traditionally
do, if I could just live believing things that I knew forever, believing, because I mean, I remember the first time I ever met an escort, and I had absolute judgment because of everything that I had heard and seen, you know, whatever the public opinion was. You know, so I know that that's how most people react to me, because rather than actually thinking about it and having the courage to talk to me about it, to understand it, they'd rather just jump to conclusions. Right. So anyway, so yeah, my relationships in my life, my intimate relationships, have to come with an understanding that this is the work I do, and not only do I need people to be okay with it, but I need them to actually appreciate it, because I need to share with those that I love how powerful some of my moments in life are, how powerful some of my experiences are. I just had a client the last two evenings, actually. I saw him two evenings ago, and then he asked me to come back another evening last night. And at the eighth, he was a ex-clergy member for many, 25 years. Mm-hmm. He was a priest. Mm-hmm. And he only recently decided that he finally wanted to understand his being gay.
Wow.
Like, he got out of the clergy, he got a regular job, he got a house, he learned how to live on his own, which is almost like a teenager, because as a priest, you don't have to do anything for yourself.
Right.
It's all provided to you.
Yes.
So after he got all that settled in his life and got to a good place in his life, he said, you know what, I now want to understand what it is to be gay.
Yes.
So I was his first.
Wow.
Age of 58. Everything we did was brand new for him.
Wow.
Kissing. Everything we did was brand new. And it was so incredible, so magical, and so, you know, it just, he was speechless. He did not know what to say. He's like, I wish you could just see you the way I'm seeing you and know how good this feels, you know, and it was amazing.
Right,
so that's
right,
the kind of things that I need to share with people that are close to me in my life, because it's so profound. So it's not enough for me to be around people who say, look, I can deal with this as long as you don't talk about it.
Yeah.
It's like, no, fuck that. I need to talk about it. I love it.
Right. Oh, that's so true. That's so true.
You know.
And I'm hoping that, you know, those in our audience who have prejudged other sex workers, that they listen to you and speak so profoundly about your interactions with other humans. You know, the funny thing is that I used to train sexual surrogates to work with people with sexual dysfunctions, and the people that I turned to, you know, initially for this training were other sex workers, you know, men and women who were already on the front lines of interacting sexually with a broader range of people than most folks, and, you know, who had a professional way of dealing with sexuality with their clients. And, you know, they were brilliant. They already knew, you know, about, you know, safe sex practices, of course. They also knew about, you know, sexual dysfunctions, because they would encounter it in their line of work. And so they were ideal candidates for sexual surrogacy work, and it's absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, I've learned so much. I mean, I am a sexual professional. I have a good understanding of human sexual nature, both because of my experience, but also just because of my natural intuition and my, you know, intelligence.
Yeah.
You know, and I know how to work with people. I know how to make people. I know how to just share, you know, and it's also because I do have this very good, blessed, and balanced life that I just have a good energy that I can share with people.
Right. Yeah.
So I love it. It's a blessing.
Right. So I'm assuming from what you're saying that your sex work and your porn work does not desensitize you to sex in general, as some people would assume.
Not at all. It definitely changes my perspective. I mean, like, from the standpoint that I don't hook up. Like, I don't, like, just randomly hook up with people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very rare that I will have a sexual encounter that is not either because of money or because I have an intense connection or love for somebody.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty much my two motivators.
Yeah.
I'm not motivated by insecurity or fear or self-loathing, which, you know, I mean, sometimes, yes, sometimes people just have sex for the sake of sex, but, you know, I believe that the majority of sex is motivated by some kind of a feeling to connect with somebody. And, you know, I'm not really lacking in that. So I don't seek that out. I mean, it's either because it's work, and because basically I think what it is I feel like my sexual power, my sexual ability is a gift and a blessing.
Yeah.
And I'm not just going to share that with just anybody because they're hot or because whatever.
Right.
It's either going to be because I've been hired to do such, and that's my livelihood and so forth, or because somebody is such a good person, has such a good heart, a good spirit, and I love them for that, and then I'm gonna share that with them.
Oh, that's fascinating.
And people don't understand that. People are like, hey, do you want to hook up? And I'm like, not really. I'm like,
and
you're
then
hot.
Do they turn on you and say, well, listen, you're a prostitute, so you know what is this? You know, how come you're
I
not
know.
Get
right? Yeah.
Oh, it's such a bummer. You know, people have so misconstrued and misunderstand sexuality, and those who are freed up from, you know, the conventions of sexual expressions in our culture, folks like you and I are strangers in a strange land.
Yeah. I mean, it's countless times that I've, you know, the topic of what I do has come up in conversation, and I've had people turn their back and just walk away
right.
from me, just
right.
completely unable to say anything to
right.
me because they're acting as though they're disgusted by me, but they're disgusted by themselves.
Right.
I mean,
right,
it's right. The United States, I mean, our culture, our society is so incredibly sexual repressed. And the fact that we'll show countless violence on TV, but not a single tit,
mm-hmm.
you know, is ridiculous.
Right.
You know, it's in a very Americanized idea, you know, and, you know, in most of Europe, even if prostitution isn't legal, they don't make any fuss about
right.
it.
That's so true.
You know, they understand that it's human nature to need sex. Is, I mean, sex and food are our two bodies' pleasure. You know, are pleasure bringers. You know, I mean, I don't trust anyone that doesn't have an appreciation for the both.
Right.
You know.
That's brilliant. That's absolutely brilliant. Do you involve yourself in sex worker activism?
You know, that is where I'm living in Sacramento right now, and there's just not much opportunity. But I'm planning. I know. It's like, what are you going to do? I'm going to be one guy out, like, you know, marching in the parade, you know, with my sign. I'm planning on moving to San Francisco in May.
Uh-huh.
So once I'm there, I've already helped, done a few fundraisers for the St. James Infirmary, which,
right. good.
For anybody who doesn't know, which most people don't know, the St. James Infirmary is a clinic that is for sex workers and partners or boyfriends of sex workers,
right.
Or girlfriends, I guess. I guess they reach out to all. You know, so it's very unique, I mean, to actually have a clinic that is designed for health services,
right.
for people who work in the sex industry and counseling and workshops and things like that. So I'll definitely continue my involvement with them, and I actually hate that I live that I have the free time that I do have when I'm not traveling and shooting and such, that I really is wasted time.
Yes.
Because I would much rather be spending it helping, you know, people and organizations.
Right. So before we move on to the rest of the questions that I have for you, there's a caller who left a message after last week's show. And here's Andy.
Hi, this is Andy. I am 50 from Sacramento, California. I really enjoyed your show tonight with Lance Navarro. I was just wondering if you could ask him next week what it's like to be an uncut porn star, since there aren't a lot of American uncut porn stars. So ask him what effect that's had and just what it's like to be uncut. Thank you very much. Bye.
Hey, Andy. Thanks so much for your question. I definitely certainly do get a lot of comments and people who you know, who certainly have comments to make about the fact that I am uncut. It is a bit of an oddity in this part of the world, being a just a plain old white boy, it's probably even more of an oddity.
I'll say.
I'm from rural Virginia originally, and it certainly is not normal out there to be uncut. And actually, it all came as a result of the fact that my dad was confused at the time of my birth. I think, for one thing, I'm a twin, so I have a twin sister as well. So I think the whole experience was just so much for him that when the doctor came and said, do you want him cut or uncut, he said uncut and completely meant the other way around.
But
I was left with, you know, it's like, you know, I showed up and it's like, oh, wait, this was, you know, but then it's like, okay, it's kind of like going to the DMV. It's like you have to fucking go back in, you have to make an appointment, and, you know, you just don't want to do it. So they left me. And, you know, I'm very happy because I like having a dick that's very natural and something different. And you know, as far as being in porn and having that, you know, the photographers, you know, always certainly want to accentuate that, you know, and so I get to do some, you know, some nice poses, pulling out my foreskin. And, you know, it's pretty cool to have this, you know, it's a convertible dick, you know, it can have a roof or not. It's, you know, and it's not even a push of a button. It's just a, you know, just a pull of the dick.
I love it.
So, you know, and I don't have to use lube as much. So, you know, that's actually a savings right there. That's a total, you know, reduction in my business expense. You know, there's no lube necessary, at least for jerking off. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, it's kind of cool being in that minor fraternity.
Do you have you experienced any discrimination in either your work in porn or as an escort?
No. I thought you were going to say, has anybody just ever seen I was uncut and then been, you know, no longer attracted? And that's actually happened only one time ever that I've had somebody be like, oh God, you're uncut, I'm so not into uncut. It's, you know, one time out of, I'm not going to say how many.
Please don't, because I would blush.
but, you know, no, it's usually the opposite. People are either, you know, impartial to it, or I would say 80% of the time really excited about it.
Yes.
But you've never experienced any
discrimination.
Studios love it. Studios love to see that on an application. You know, unless they have a certain type that it has to be, you know, and that somehow would make me too European and they want me looking totally Southern boy or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't foresee that happening.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you for sharing that. And thanks for your call, Andy. I appreciate it. So listen, with the little time that we have left, I'd like to move on to one more topic. I mean, you are just such a wealth of information. It's a shame that we only have these 2.5 hours last week and this. But the other topic that I would like to talk about briefly is power play. And that's, for most people, that's the same thing as BDSM, this exchange of power between partners. Has this been part of your life? And if so, for how long?
Yeah, well, you know, I would consider myself, or I think most people would consider me probably a bit of a novice on BDSM, mm-hmm. Just because my experiences haven't been really deep, really over like a long period of time per se. But, you know, I do have a very good understanding. I mean, and I do practice mostly with clients, but yes. also with lovers.
Yes.
Certain elements of, you know, bondage, flogging, you know, rope work, right. Cock and ball torture, you know. But for me, I mean, for me, it's all about it being an even more intimate experience. Like, I don't usually want to initiate that until there's already the intimacy developed.
Right. Interesting.
It's all about being so in touch with somebody that you're reading their body's every twitch and movement and understanding what that means and where you're taking them to.
Right.
You know, which is not, you know, which for people who don't know, you know, and they just see maybe somebody getting flogged or somebody, you know, doing like electric play or whatever, that they just think, okay, these people are sick and twisted and somehow get off on just being hurt, like they want to be hurt, and it's not about that. I mean,
no.
it's about the appreciation for pain, but also seeing how far you can take it with it, but also knowing, you know, when to draw the line before it becomes a real, right, you know, actual risk.
Right.
So I really I really have a deep appreciation, and I certainly want to continue exploring it. It's an interesting thing, though, because you'll meet two different types of people. You'll meet the type of people, say, the total top, who it's all about his ego. You know, it's all about, like, showing off, telling people how hardcore he is, mm-hmm. proving how tough he is because he can totally abuse this bottom. Mm-hmm. And that's not the types that I affiliate with.
Right.
You know, and that's why I've resisted joining organizations and clubs that to me seem very quote-unquote old cloth, meaning that they believe that BDSM and bondage and all that is like this very devoted lifestyle, and you have to dress a certain way and right. act a certain way and be a certain way, and I find a lot of guys that prescribe to that, not all of them, but a lot of them are the types that are just they're so
regimented.
Hardcore.
Oh my goodness, and, I'll say. And,
yeah, and but for me, it's about the exchange. It's about the give and take, you know. And I, you know, one time might feel, you know, inclination to be a top and be in charge, and then the next week, because I've had a tough week and I've had to be in charge so much, that I'm going to be the one who's going to want to, you know, throw myself down and just say, tie me up and use me, you know?
I love it. I absolutely do.
You know? So when I was a manager for, I won't say the company, I guess. I should.
Good idea.
I was a large luxury retail brand, we'll just say, mm-hmm. In their store. I was a manager, and I was always in control. So I actually had this guy who would, you know, who would handcuff me and make me lick his boots and spit in my mouth. And at first it freaked me out, and I was just like, I'm not going to lick your boots. But when I finally just did what I was told to do, it was so liberating.
And I've heard other people say the same thing.
The antithesis of a manager, you know?
Right.
So
may I ask you, before we conclude, who are your inspirations and who are your sexual heroes?
Ooh,
if you have any.
You know, I've had people ask me, you know, who inspired you into leather, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm like, no one really. I mean, I don't really think I cannot honestly recall who I perhaps saw or idolized. I mean, I never really made any connections to porn stars mm-hmm. prior to working in porn. I mean, I would watch it, but it was purely just, you know, for a few minutes to jerk off. Mm-hmm. You know, so I wouldn't say, I mean, I would say the, you know, the people that I idolize now are the ones that I find who've made this work and have, you know, and have shown me what it can be. I mean, like my friend Michael Brandon has been
yes.
awesome in, you know, helping me, you know, it's like I can see through him where he's gotten to today, and you know he's had, you know, he had his troubles, he had his problems, but he's emerged a really wonderful man with a great spirit and a great appreciation for helping people. And
he's a
you
true
know,
survivor, he, that man.
Yes, he is. So Michael Brandon, I love him. And there's been quite a few people, you know, people who've been going at it for quite a while. You know, I have friends down in Palm Springs, one who was an escort for many, many years, and you know he was smart. He you know bought investment retail rental properties in LA, and you know actually is you know leading a financially stable life right now.
Right.
So
yeah.
those are the ones I look for. The ones yeah. who are people like you. I mean,
thank you.
I want you know once I'm done, you know, being you know in the industry so hands on. I want to. You know, I plan on continuing my work as a sex and relationship therapist. So,
fascinating.
So, thank you.
No, thank you, sir. I mean, I'm you're such a joy. I am so delighted that we've connected. You've enriched my life. It was kismet to find you on the net, and I am absolutely delighted that we are getting to know each other as well as we are. With that, we conclude another session of our conversation, and I thank you. Maybe there will be other opportunities, you know, to discuss things in the future. But before we leave, would you give us your web address again and walk us around?
Absolutely, yes. So it's the address is www.lancenavarro.com. That's LanceNavarro.com. Pictures from my photo shoots with Raging Stallion, Hot House, some friend photographers who've done some stuff with. So I've got some great and pretty dirty photography on there as well. I keep a videography so you can see all the videos that I've been in and check out some video clips and such. Got some of my own personal photography that I've started becoming interested in. And also a guest book that I would love for everybody to log on and sign into. And, you know, feel free to leave behind, you know, any type of a quote or inspiration, just anything you want to, you know, sort of share with the world, because I'd love it to just become an ongoing place where people could actually go to and find, you know, inspiration in their pants, but also inspiration in their heart and soul. So definitely log on and check it out. And also I have links to my Facebook on there as well.
Great, great, great. Thanks, darling. We will be chatting again soon.
Thank you, Dr. Dick.
Soon.
Have a good one.
Okay. Bye now.
All right. Bye-bye.
What a marvelous show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. You'll find a link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the tab that reads Video Library. There's no membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute kind of deal, don't you know? Remember that your pay-per-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Pretty gall-darn sweet, huh? One more thing. Before we conclude, I want to make sure that you know about my new product review site, DrDickSexToyReviews.com. That's right, sex fans. Now it's easy to see what's hot and what's not in the world of adult products. I and the Dr. Dick Review crew review all kinds of goodies for adults. Sex toys for sure, but also condoms and herbal products and lubes and fetish gear, as well as educational and enrichment videos. Don't miss a single one. Be sure to check out my site, DrDickSexToyReviews.com. You'll be so glad you did. And until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.